Help you prepare for those devos, because this is kind of, I mean, ultimately, we've been talking about how to study the Bible, and we've just kind of been laying down the foundation of some things. We've been talking specifically about logic and making sure that we're drawing the right conclusions, and today, this is going to be, I don't care, even if we don't get all the way through it, this is, I mean, we've been talking about logic for like the last 3 weeks. We're going to talk about logic one more day today, and then we're going to move on and keep sort of looking at how to gather evidence and things like that. So we've kind of just laid out some of these basic definitions for some of these laws of logic, if you will, rationality, identity, excluded middle, contradiction. Brooke's been taking some awesome notes, so I definitely recommend you get those from her if you want to. And so today we're going to be talking about logical fallacies. What, just based off of the word alone, logical fallacy, what do you think that we're going to be talking about?
What was the first word?
Logical.
Fallacy.
False.
You really make me feel like I'm back in my philosophy class.
Yeah. I know, that's why I was like, again, these are going to be some principles and things that'll really, the fallacies will kind of help us, I guess, in our examination of making sure, again, we want to always be making sure that what we believe is true, even if there's new evidence that is presented, we want to make sure that there is harmony in all that we believe. And so these logical fallacies, we can commit them. But other people can commit them as well. And so, I mean, you can see these things not only just for principles for Bible study, but also in the world in which we live in. We've kind of used some real-world examples that we'll continue and use today. But ultimately, the purpose of using logic in Bible study, last week we talked about and noted several different examples of Jesus using logic with the Pharisees and Sadducees. So really, these things are really helpful when discussing biblical things with other people. But again, we ultimately want to make sure that we're not committing some of these things ourselves. Our theme for the class, Acts 17:11, we want to be Berean. Does anybody, we've read this pretty much at the start, does anybody kind of have this memorized? I think I might be able to. Jackson? No? Okay. Let's see. Acts 17:11. Now, these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they sought the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Was that close?
You skipped the middle part.
Oh, no. What was it?
For they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so.
They received the word with eagerness. Okay, excellent.
So she get trying to show off.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, I wasn't trying to show off, but I was thinking about it. And I was like, okay, what's the basic gist of this passage? But anyway, we want to be Berean. We want to search the scriptures. We want to be eager and diligent to do so. The part that I missed. To make sure, as the Bereans, they were examining what Paul was preaching to them about Christ. They were using their Old Testament scriptures to see if these things were so. We also want to be able to do those things as Bible students today as well. So as we continue on with logical fallacies, and then we'll kind of be done with logic. We're never done with logic, but we'll kind of maybe mention some of these principles later on. But again, some of these fallacies that can come up in our reasoning or in the reasoning of others, the first one is called, it's called denying the antecedent, but it's basically just a fancy logical term that we're, the example will make it make sense. Let's see here. If Louise is running, then she is moving. That's kind of our statement A. If Louise is running, then she is moving. But statement B, if Louise is not running, And then statement C, therefore she is not moving. So, Louise is running, is moving. Okay, true, false, what do we think? If Louise is running, she is moving. Louise is not running, therefore she is not moving.
It's false.
Wait, which part?
The conclusion, C. Is it true, is it false?
Well, we don't know.
Well, if the first part's false, then the whole statement is true, right?
Right.
I know, but I'm saying if like the if part is a false statement, then the whole thing is true, even if the first part is false. But
I guess the kind of the breakdown kind of comes with statement B, right?
Well, it's the whole if P then Q, if not P then not Q. So
well,
logically,
that's not like the but. Yeah. But that's not like the right.
No, I don't understand.
This is
a lot.
This is math. What?
Okay, so Louise is running. She is moving. We would agree. Is true? Is that statement true or false?
True.
True. Okay. So if Louise is not running, let's just say that we see Louise. She's clearly not running. Is statement C the fact that she's not running? Does that mean that she's not moving? No. Okay, so this is the antecedent, really. This is, she is not moving. This is the, I believe she is moving is the antecedent. There are plenty of other activities that she could be doing that do not involve running, but she could still technically be moving. So again, whenever we kind of lay it out like this, we just need to be careful and make sure, you know, kind of goes with the whole, you know, if we're using broad general statements, making sure that we're being specific. I don't know. Any other thoughts?
Yeah.
What?
Exactly.
Oh, right. Now everybody got it right. I mean, I'd say everybody's smart. Everybody figured it out. Let's see. Okay, we could have guilty by association. All right, guilty by association. Let's say several Nazis are members of the Kaiser Club. Hans was a member of the Kaiser Club, therefore Hans is a Nazi. What's the problem here? Several Nazis were members of the Kaiser Club. Hans is a member of the Kaiser Club, therefore Hans was a Nazi.
Well, it doesn't say all Nazis were members of the club.
Exactly. There aren't always, just because certain people, again, maybe there were three Nazis that were members of the Kaiser Club, but in total, the Kaiser Club has 300 members, so that would be 297 members that have nothing to do with the Nazi Party, but because they were guilty by association, again, this logical fallacy comes in, sort of tries to pit apart with the whole, you know, okay, well, because there were three members there that were part of the Kaiser Club, well, then the whole thing must be a bunch of Nazis that go there. Hans gets thrown into this example and becomes, you know, guilty by association. Why would that be wrong?
I mean, very broad.
Exactly. Now maybe we need to look into Hans and see his interactions with other people, but we can't just flatly just come across and say he's guilty because
there's no truth behind the statement.
Exactly. There's no truth behind it. What are some other maybe sort of guilty by association examples that you can think of?
Stereotyping.
Like what?
Just like certain like groups of people. There are always stereotypes for every group of people. So if you see one person, you're gonna automatically think, oh, they must be A, B, and C if they're this kind of person.
Right. Yeah.
Like every member of the church press, those are all going in, and they're the only ones.
Yeah.
That's one right there. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've heard, I've had that used against me before. It was kind of a weird thing. It was like one of my stepbrothers. He was like, "Oh, you're going to a Church of Christ preaching school?" He's like, "What? You think you're better than, you know?" I was like, "No, just striving for truth." I mean, yeah, really, guilty by association kind of comes down into stereotypes. We see it all the time. You know, you see somebody with a Trump sign in their yard. Okay, well, I'm going to associate they're racist and they're bigoted and they're closed-minded just based off of, you know, they're Republican or whatever their, you know, political affiliation might be. You just see it all the time. In today's society, we like to tear down and to demean one another. And so we just sort of make all these broad sweeping accusations rather than getting to know people on an individual basis, getting to know who that person is. Let's see. Okay, another really popular fallacy is begging the question. All right, begging the question tries to get around the argument process. Ultimately, it lacks real information to support a conclusion. The statement needs to be proven true, but in begging the question, the statement made is just assumed to be true. So, begging the question would be... iPhone is the best smartphone on the planet because no one makes a better smartphone than Apple. Where's the fallacy and the reasoning?
It says the same thing.
Right, yeah. Apple iPhone is the best smartphone because no one makes a better smartphone than Apple. It's almost like you take the smartphone and Apple and you reverse the order. Smartphone, nobody makes a better smartphone than Apple. And again, it's sort of a statement, and it's also called circular, it can also be circular reasoning, circular questioning. Again, the statement is assumed to be true that Apple makes the best smartphone on the planet. It's assumed. Have we tested whether or not this is actually true? again, it's based off of an assumption that something is true rather than actually, okay, let's test iPhone with, you know, some of the other different brands or other different smartphone makers and to test whether or not that is true. Okay, another example. Avatar is the greatest movie ever because it is the number one top grossing movie of all time. Avatar is the greatest movie ever, basically because it's number one at the box office. It has the highest grossing of any movie ever made, therefore it is the best. What's wrong with that? Right. Yeah, I could pay, you know, $10 to go see Avatar, and I was like, man, that movie stinks. The characters were kind of shallow. It was really long. The effects were cool, I guess, but other than that, there were like story flaws and how does this work? Again, it's not the performance of the movie that necessarily makes it a good movie, but there are other qualities to be considered. So begging the question is kind of, I think we've seen from iPhone and Avatar, some of it's kind of opinion-based and thinking, you know, that Apple makes better products, they make better smartphones. But again, you know, if we really put this through a, you know, test to figure out, does Apple actually make better smartphones than others? Again, we can't just go based off of the assumption that that statement is true. So that's begging the question. Any other thoughts or questions? Nope. All right. Another common one, and this is one that, again, I've heard begging the question. I've heard straw man argument multiple times. But I was like, I don't get what is that? What does that mean exactly? Straw man argument states, you must address the argument as given. If one does not argue against what one has said correctly, it is a straw man. So basically, you think about if you're going back and forth between someone, they give this sort of long explanation and reasoning for what they believe, you create a straw man argument by sort of summing it down into your own words, but yet you make it, ultimately you don't represent the person and what they said very well. Does that make sense?
Can you give me an example?
Yeah. Okay. Says, I would rather have a dog than a cat. And the husband says, why do you hate cats? It's a straw. Did the wife say anything about hating cats? No, she said that she would, given her choice between a dog or a cat, she would prefer the dog. So the husband, he either assumed or pretended that her argument was against cats instead of four dogs. She said, I'd rather have a dog than a cat. But either way, he commits the fallacy by assuming or jumping to the conclusion, well, if you'd rather have a dog than a cat, well, then that means you hate cats. Where would we might, what are maybe some other examples we might be able to think of with this? Yeah?
Okay.
Someone says, do you like these glasses better or these?
No,
and they get a certain pair of glasses, and they say, oh, do you like these glasses? I picked these, and you say, well, I like the other ones better. Oh, you hate my glasses.
Yeah, that sounds pretty close. Yeah. I feel like something happened.
I know.
No, I asked, like, Friday, I asked, how did these glasses look on me?
I said I like the other ones better.
That doesn't answer my question. That does not answer my question. I was like, the other ones weren't even in the picture. Do you like these glasses?
I just said I like the other
ones better. Well, we weren't talking about the other ones.
All right, so who committed the straw man fallacy in their example?
No, him.
Oh, I was not a straw man.
Yeah, you were.
Another example, the children's winter concert at the school should include non-Christmas songs, too. Person B says, you won't be happy until Christmas songs are banned from being played on the radio. Again, it's kind of jumping. Yeah, it's kind of jumping really far. And again, it's not that the person doesn't like the cat or they don't like Christmas songs. It's just, you know, I think it'd be cool if we had a little bit of variety. So maybe if we had like a couple of pop songs with the Christmas songs. Ultimately, again, you're not really addressing their argument in this situation, but you take it to a whole other extreme.
It's like when people started kneeling. Oh, you hate the flag? Sorry, this joke being political, whatever.
Okay.
Such a random.
That's not right. That's exactly what is going on.
Oh,
here.
I mean, yeah, but
it applies.
I've like never thought of that again.
Well, there's. Not thinking deep enough.
We're not a strong man.
Okay.
Okay. Here's one that can happen.
She was thinking.
Siding from tradition.
Do you already know what he's writing? See, I think you look at his notes, but you already know what to say.
No. I honestly have no idea what he's writing.
I mean, if she asked, I would probably share them, but a lot of times I just kind of keep it down.
Well, she giggled like she knew what you were writing down.
Oh.
Another
logical fallacy can be tradition. Citing a fact, we've always done it that way. Why might that be a problem?
What if that way is wrong?
Exactly. And even again with our own, just because we've always done it, that doesn't mean it's something that's right. Again, perhaps we get more information. We, even in the church, we get some more passages of scripture. We think about them a little bit more deeply. We try and put all of our passages, all of our logic together, you know, again, thinking about implication, trying to think about these different things, but just because we've always done it that way doesn't always mean that it's the best way or that it's the right way. Again, we have to focus, we have to put our attention and focus on the practice being done, not just the history and longevity of it. Now, again, that doesn't mean that every tradition or everything, just because it is tradition, that doesn't mean it's wrong. But again, we need to make sure and that we're always making sure that our traditions, our beliefs do stand on the rock of God's word, because if there's something that we're doing that perhaps maybe traditional, but it's not correct, then we need to make that change. Next one is called the Democratic fallacy. Let's see. It is the assumption and the mere fact that most people believe that X is a true is sufficient evidence to allow us to conclude that X is true. So basically, enough people believe that 9/11 was an inside job, therefore we need to go based off of what other people say and believe that happened. It's basically, you know, it's kind of carried down belief, or a group of individuals believe this, so because enough people believe it, then we need to assume that it's true. That, you know, because the government has done shady things and had deep shady dealings in the past, that everything going forward, maybe the government is trying to control us through the water, through the virus.
Do you think, like, we'll ever, like say, like, Jesus comes back wherever we go, wherever we go, will we ever find out, like, those, like, you know what I'm saying? Like the
secrets of the world?
Yeah.
That would be cool.
That'd be
awesome.
It's like a theater. Yeah. It's like this just giant, like, heavenly theater.
And you just, like, let's all
air all of your secrets. I don't know. I've kind of wondered that, though. I always thought it'd be cool, like, to see the Bible as a movie, but like depicted in real life. So it's kind of like what we are talking about. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a big theater. It's like, look, this is what it looks like when, you know, the Israelites went through the Red Sea. And so to actually like get to watch that happen, and some of them are like, yeah, we were there. You know, I don't know. I'm not really
you're
sure.
All going crazy in the front left.
Yeah. They're like, woo, that's us. That's my camel. No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. That would be cool, but I think at that point, you know, we're going to be in the presence of God. So, you know, I think that's something that we think about here, like the history of the earth. But once we get there, like, none of that's going to matter. We're just going to be so excited not to deal with sin and death. Huh?
Still juicy to know.
Yeah. Ask God to spill some of the hot tea, like, Who was it that really killed JFK? Who was that? Ad hominem fallacy. This is another one.
Imagine if we did
it couldn't just be the U.S., though. It would have to be other countries, which I don't know if I want to know their juicy secrets.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. Like all the stuff with Chernobyl.
All right. Ad hominem. This is... Yeah, we'll kind of wrap it up here. Ad hominem is a term in Latin which literally means against the person. So again, if we're having discussions with another person about beliefs or whatever the case may be, ad hominem is whenever you go from attacking their position or attacking the argument that they're trying to make, and you go straight to attacking that person. So kind of, again, like, oh, you're a member of the Church of Christ, you just think you're the only ones going to heaven. Well, that's like a personal attack. That's not really... It's not... Yeah, see...
At every presidential election ever.
Yeah, basically, you want to see a great example of ad hominem attacks, go back and watch the first presidential debate between Trump and Biden, and it was pretty much like there was a lot of that. Let me see, there was another one. Yeah, this is one of the examples It said, an example of this, using gender as a means to devalue an argument from an opposing gender. For example, this is a female issue. As a man, how can you have an opinion about this? Well, I don't know. The fact that it's human life, and, you know, especially if we're going with the whole woman's choice abortion discussion, you know, how, as a man, how can you have an opinion because it's a female body, it's a woman's right. It's an ad hominem attack. Again, it's, you think about, I mean, again, it's human life. How can you not have an opinion about human life, whatever your gender might be? Using someone's education level as a means to exploit and degrade the opposer's argument. You didn't even finish high school. How could you possibly know about this? Even stating someone's age could be using someone's age against them. You're clearly just too young to understand is another example of an ad hominem attack. So it can be based on gender. It can be based on age. It can be based on educational status. Trent, what were you going to say?
Pretty much just everything they can discriminate against.
Yeah, it's very prevalent in the world today. You know, you tell somebody that, you know, something is wrong, it's like, well, you don't understand, you're not this, that, or the other.
It's like, you just have, like, a nice argument. You can't ever have, like, a nice argument with people.
Right.
It's very immature, really quickly.
We've lost the art and ability to disagree and how to do that, because ultimately, yeah, it just evolves into name-calling, just rude remarks.
No one wants to be wrong. That's the issue.
Yeah, nobody wants to be wrong. Yeah, pride can get involved in that. All right, so just to kind of summarize logic, all these principles of logic are laid out so that we can make sure that what we are examining our beliefs with what God's word says, that we are drawing the right conclusions, and that we are without contradiction. There are many who may or may not realize it that ultimately hold contradictions in the things that they believe. As students of the Bible, we may need to point these things out to help guide them to the correct conclusion, which is why it is important to understand some of these fallacies and recognize when they are being used, both by others and by us as well. So next week, we're going to talk about Bible authority and how we find Bible authority. So come back next week. Y'all are dismissed.
Thank you.
Yep.